Hey there, welcome to the High Five Podcast. Each episode, we count down our top five favorites in a different category, from movies and music to the totally random. Get ready to laugh and maybe even yell at our picks. Let's get into this week's High Five.
Hi, Ben.
Good. Yeah, just, you know, busy getting back into all the craziness that is going to be spring and all that fun stuff, so... But other than that, it's been good. How about you?
Pretty good. We're down to the less than single digits amount of days before we go to Disney. And so pretty excited.
You are?
Yeah. For spring break.
This is your spring break one.
Yeah, just a shorter right? one.
Yeah. Yeah, this isn't the one with your niece.
Correct. That's Memorial Day. But this okay. This is for spring break. We've never done Disney at spring break.
Yep. Good luck.
Yeah. We just bought fast passes for literally everything and just spent the money because otherwise it's just going to be like hell. So
yeah.
And we're only spending 5 days there, and one day is going to be at Epic Universe. So. We just figured we'll just do whatever we can at each park. And I think
this is your first time at Epic, right? Mm-hmm. Or have you been there already?
No, we've never been.
That's what I thought. Okay.
So we bought the Lightning Lane Fast Pass system for them too.
Which is crazy expensive.
Yeah, but it's one day and you're guaranteed to ride all those rides you want to ride. So it's just the way to do it if you're only doing it for one day.
But, yeah, I know. But even one day, we looked at it and I was like, man, I just don't know if I can justify it.
It was a big gulp.
Yeah.
Yeah. And also, they announced today the tickets for D23, the Fan Expo, are going on sale. And so it's the typical three-night, you know, experience where Friday night I think is like this is when they're announcing all of their new movies and TV shows, all of the content is getting announced, and then Saturday is all of the parks, that's when they announce like park news and experiences, so like that includes like cruise ships, I believe, that includes, you know, all the Disney experiences. And then Sunday is like their Oscars celebration, essentially, where they honor Disney legends. And so last year, I think, was the first year they did it. So they had some pretty heavy hitters. And so this year they're honoring Bob Iger, Dwayne The Rock Johnson, Lin-Manuel Miranda, the Jonas Brothers, Anne Hathaway, Alan Tudyk.
Yeah.
Among others, Jerry Bruckheimer. Yeah. But so like all these famous people come and they talk about them and they talk to other people about them. And it's just like, it's just a who's who thing where it's just like, yeah, this is kind of lame. They're not really doing anything here. They're just honoring these people, but they're there. And, you know, and Ryan Seacrest hosts it. So it's like so crazy. Yeah. So we're excited to get those tickets purchased. But
will you go for all 3 days or will you?
Yeah. If you go for all 3 days, you get a little bit of a deal, I think. And it's sure. And it's really fun. Like it last time in 2024, we went and, it was just so much fun. Like they know how to put on an event like that. And turns out that, you know, Disney's good at entertaining. But.
Sorry.
You're good.
Jameson was coming to the door. I wanted to get him in.
Yep. So pretty excited.
Nice. Yeah. Definitely will be fun. Yeah. It's in California again, right? It's always in California.
It's always
isn't it?
In Anaheim. Yep.
Yeah. That's always the bummer. I wish they would do it other places.
Yeah. But. Well, they do. In the off years, they do Destination D23. Like last year, they did do it in Orlando, but it's always smaller whenever they do those off year ones. Like, this is the one where they announce all the big stuff at.
Has it really been 2 years since you guys went last?
Yeah, it's
That does
crazy.
not seem right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, we're also going to the, there's a D23 night at the Angels, Anaheim Angels, or whatever they're called nowadays.
Yep.
And that was last year. We got like loads of free packs of Lorcana cards, like loads of
Yeah.
them. And just like, just celebrating Disney people, which was
Yep.
pretty fun. I think we got
Nice.
like an Angels Mickey Mouse bobblehead last year that I think we just sold on eBay for like $50.
Okay. Yep. Yep.
And they had
Nice.
like limited edition Lorcana cards as well that we got at the convention that we sold for like $75 a piece, like because
Yeah.
they're all limited release. And so it's like if you just wanted to sell all the stuff you got, you could probably pay for a
Oh, I'm
large
sure.
chunkier vacation.
Yeah.
Because
Yeah,
there's so
I'm
many
sure.
exclusive things at this event, but you have to have the money to buy them.
Yeah.
But yep, so we're excited for our trip coming up next week. What is it? We got, that's not right. It's less than 7 days.
Are
It's
you guys
six
leaving
days next Wednesday night.
next? Okay.
So after work, basically, we'll just go to the airport.
Yep. Hopefully you can fly out.
Yeah. Yeah, so far from what we've been hearing is that Detroit and Orlando airports have been moving normally.
Okay.
And they say that if you have, TSA pre-check, you're barely even affected, if at all. So I think we're going to be okay.
Yeah.
But who knows?
Yeah. Now is a crazy time to
To
try to
just
fly for
travel.
sure.
Yeah, I
Yeah.
definitely don't think I'd be leaving the country right now.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If I did, it would be
Well,
to Canada, maybe.
or if it did, it would be for a while, right?
Long term.
It'd be a move. It wouldn't be a vacation.
Yep.
Nice.
But yeah, so we're excited for this trip coming up. We get to do some things that we haven't been able to do before. I think we're really hoping that Buzz Lightyear's Space Ranger Spin, they updated all the technology in
Yep.
it, and it's officially opening on April 8th, which is 2 days after we leave. But we're
Yep.
hoping that we being that we're like annual pass holders
That they'll
and
let you through for a special or
they'll
something.
have a special like soft launch,
Yeah.
because that's what we did for the Zootopia Tree of Life experience, that show.
Yeah.
We were able to see that way in advance, or not way in advance, a couple
Well,
months.
I know people are riding it already. I know
Yeah.
they've been doing some test
Yeah.
launches already,
Yeah, I've
so
seen videos. Yeah, on
yeah.
YouTube. So I'm excited for that. Hopefully we'll get to ride that. I guess that's really the big thing that we haven't done, but
Yeah,
obviously.
that's how we were with when we went on our last trip. It was like 3 days after we left. Our last day is when they opened the Frozen ride again. So
Yeah.
we didn't get to go on the Frozen ride, so we just missed it.
Yeah. But when we come back for Memorial Day, the Muppets Rock and Roller Coaster, I think should be open by then. The
Oh,
big
really? I thought it was
thing,
going to be summer.
I had to have to check that, but I know that Big Thunder will be open by then.
Hope fingers crossed.
No, it's literally they've already got a date for it. But yeah, you're right
Yeah, but
about
they
that.
had a date. It was March sometime.
Yeah.
And then it got moved again.
Yeah, but once they
So.
get this close, normally they're pretty close on it once it
Yeah.
gets within a few months.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we're excited for s potentially some stuff. But
Nice.
regardless, we're super excited for Epic Universe because we've not, like you said, we've not been there.
Yeah.
And like the Nintendo Land
Oh yeah.
stuff. We just rewatched the Super Mario movie, and
Yep.
it just got me really excited to go.
Well, you'll be there on the launch, right? Doesn't it come out on the first or something like that, or the
Oh, the
second?
new
I can't
one? I
remember.
don't know.
Yeah.
It is
I know
soon.
it's coming out soon,
Yeah.
but
Yep.
yeah, no, I'm with you. I really wanted to go. Part of me regrets not just going, but We'll get there. We'll get there eventually.
Yeah.
So
We'll report back.
I'm sure, yeah.
But yeah. So, should we get going on this?
Yeah, for sure.
Movie prequels. We did movie sequels a couple episodes ago, and then
Yep.
last episode, obviously, we had Sarah on for favorite travel destinations that we've been
Yep.
to. And yeah, before we jump into it, how do people who are listening get a hold of us or send us submissions or anything, Caleb?
Yeah, if people think they can or have better top fives than us, they can share their top fives with us. They can share it on speakpipe.com/thehighfivepodcast, facebook.com, and all of these are /highfivepodcast, and then Instagram as well. So yeah, reach out, share us with us your top five or top two or top three, whatever. But it'd be fun to hear everyone's top five for sure.
Yep.
So
Yep. Cool. All right. So I guess let's jump into it. And I'll just kick it off right here.
okay.
Welcome back to the High Five Podcast, where each episode we list our five favorite items within a within the given topic of the week. And this episode's no different. We are doing prequels. And For you, what did you look for in a prequel? Obviously it had to be IP that you liked. It had to be well
Yeah, I don't
made.
know why. For me, I just felt like prequels were more difficult
It was.
than sequels.
No, I agree. There's a lot of them, but a lot of them are either not in genres I cared about or they sucked. There's a lot of sucky prequels.
Yeah, for me, the big part too was there was a lot of them that I haven't seen. Like I
Yeah.
maybe have seen the original one, but never saw the prequel or
Because
anything.
normally if it's a prequel, it's just not as good of a movie. Like
Yeah,
lower
I don't know if that's
budget
just
and yeah.
yeah, I don't know if that's just the mindset or what, but like yeah, when I was even looking through the list, I'm like, man, I haven't seen the majority of these.
Yeah.
So I don't have really any honorable mentions. I mean,
I have
obviously
two.
I could throw out, Star Wars films left and right.
Yeah.
But yeah, for like real prequels, I was like, man, that's tough. I'm struggling to come up with five. So I did. But yeah, I would say out of all of my lists, this I feel like is my weakest of the ones we've done. So which I was surprised by. Really, I thought, oh, this is gonna be easy. And then I started doing it and sitting down and kind of hammering it out. And I was like, oh man, this is tough.
Yeah.
So
Yep, I definitely normally I can fill out a whole five honorable mentions on top of my five, and I scraped through with seven total, five, for my top five and two honorable mentions. And but the seven that I picked, I think are well, I think they're solid. I like them all. My top five are definitely solid.
Yeah, so for me, like you were talking, you asked kind of like what makes a good prequel. For me, it's just ones I've seen, is what it came down to. And obviously I liked them. I mean, there are other ones that I saw that I didn't like and didn't make the list, but these were really just ones that I've seen and I enjoyed. Some of them, like my four and five. My four, I haven't seen in a while, and five, it's probably been a little bit too. So, they're definitely not ones that I, watch over and over or anything like that. But outside of my top three are ones that I've seen many, many times for sure. So,
All of my top five have been made in the last 11 years. Everything is like newer.
oh, okay. Mine are older. I think my newest one, when did that movie? I gotta look when that came out. Hang on. I think my newest is like 2013, maybe. So 12 years. Oh no, 2016. That's my newest one.
I know what
So
that is.
you don't know anything.
All right, well, I'd say let's jump right into it. And since this was my topic, I'll go first. My number five is from the year 2021. This was the movie that hit theaters in 2 year. It was the first MCU movie to hit the theaters in 2 years, because of the pandemic, and it really suffered because it took so long to come out.
Sure.
This was supposed to, this would have been much higher, like box office. It would have gotten much better reviews if it would have come out like when they were in the middle of all this, you know, when Black Widow was still like one of the main characters, and like I feel like it got forgotten. And it's such a great movie. It's one that we've seen so many times. We love Natasha Romanoff as a character, and her as Black Widow. That's Scarlett Johansson. She's one of my favorite actresses anyway. We love her in our family, and yeah, like we've said on the podcast before, the way they killed her, it just yeah, just everything about
Didn't sit
this
right.
didn't sit right. But we love the character, and we love this movie. It just came out too late, unfortunately. But and this was also the movie that Scarlett Johansson, you know, she famously filed the lawsuit against Disney over the simultaneous Disney Plus release. Like it came out in theaters
Oh,
at the same time
sure.
as Disney Plus, which hurt the box office on it, obviously. And I can't even remember why they did it, but I think they were trying to push their Disney Plus subscriptions, you know.
I'm sure.
And so yeah, she sued and won that case. But
Well, I'm sure some of it too is they figured most people aren't going out to the theaters yet anyway, so we got to get as many eyes on this as we can. So,
So anyway, that's my number five, Black Widow from 2021.
okay. Nice. That's like her origin story, right? Isn't that what that
Yes,
movie's all
exactly.
about? Okay. That's
That's why it counts as a prequel. It fills in the gaps between Civil War and Infinity War while giving Natasha like a proper family. Like you learn where she came from. So and then it introduces the Red Room program, which was like kind of like edgy for Disney at the time, like where it's like these girls were kidnapped and basically they became trained fighters, and they couldn't have children. They like gave them all hysterectomies and just like terrible, terrible thing. And so you just learn, you understand what makes
Who she is,
Natasha. And it was a very powerful movie. It had some really cool songs on the soundtrack, and had also Florence Pugh, and David Harbour, and those were the main characters. And I think that was Florence Pugh's first introduction into the MCU as well. I think
Yeah, I think so.
it was for David Harbour as well with his character. But yeah, great movie. That's my number
Nice.
five. What do you got?
All right. So like I said, four and five are my weakest of the top five, if you will. It is a movie I have seen. It is a movie I enjoyed. I have not watched it in a while. Came out in 2013, and it is Monsters University. So this is the prequel to obviously Monsters Inc., where we see Mike and Scully kind of first meet and get to know each other in college at the university. So it's kind of their backstory, how they became friends and all of this stuff. It was a good movie. I really enjoyed it. I thought for a prequel, it did a good job kind of, elaborating more on these characters' history and story together. So the whole film takes place around basically it's, this college campus competition, and then they team up and then they end up winning the competition. But so you get introduced to new and different characters and some of the same ones, come back and stuff. But It's got a pretty good cast with John Krasinski and Nathan Fillion's in it, Bonnie Hunt, and obviously Billy Crystal and John Goodman. But yeah, it was a good movie. I really enjoyed it, and for a prequel, I think it did a good job kind of elaborating more on the overall story of Monsters, Inc. So.
Fun movie. Fun, IP. Fun,
Yeah.
Fun characters. Cool. All right, so that's your number five. My number four is kind of similar. I shouldn't say similar, but it is. It's Minions from 2015. If you're familiar with the series Despicable Me, the minions are the little yellow guys that run around. And so basically it answers the question that we all had, right? Was where did these minions
Where did they
come
come
from?
from?
So it takes these side characters and gives them a full origin story of their own. That's just like hilarious. They're showing their eternal search for the most despicable master. They want to serve the most, the baddest guy. And so it reframes their loyalty to Gru as destiny rather than coincidence, which makes the main films just more meaningful. But yeah, just love these movies. There's more than one now. Yeah, it's just funny. And actually the interesting fact is that this guy named Pierre Coffin actually voices all of the minions in their minion language, which is like Minionese or something like that. And it's like a mixture of like Spanish, Italian, English. Like it's just like this gibberish language that sometimes you can actually understand what they're trying to say. But yep, love Minions. And yep. It was actually not like super well reviewed, but it made over $1 billion, which is like only a couple, I think only a couple animated films have ever made over a
I've done
billion
that.
dollars.
Yeah. No, that's a great one. I didn't even think about that for a prequel, but that's a good one. Yeah.
So,
Nice.
all right, what's your number four?
Okay, so my number four is the oldest one on my list, and it's one that I grew up watching a lot and really enjoyed and have watched many times. Although I haven't watched it in a long time, but when I was younger, I used to watch this movie all the time, and that's Indiana Jones and the Temple of
Oh.
Doom. One of those great movies. Kind of goes back and you learn more about Indiana Jones and where he came from, and it's set in 1935, and obviously, they go through. I still remember, the scene that always, when I was younger growing up, that always creeped me out was when he removes the guy's heart,
Yeah,
and that
same.
scene always got to me.
No.
I always loved Short Round.
Ripped
I
out
always thought
his
he was a
heart.
good character. I mean, and, man, back then that looked real too.
Yeah. Now you watch it.
You watch it now and you're like, oh yeah, that's not as great as I thought it was gonna be. But yeah, I just, Short Round as a character, it was a great movie. I probably not as great for me as Raiders of the, I like Raiders of the Lost Ark, I think
It's
is
a
my favorite
better
one,
movie. Yeah.
but it's still a great movie. I really enjoyed that one a lot. And you kind of learn more about Indiana Jones. So yeah.
Nice. So that was your number four. Moving on to my number three. And this is the newest one that I have on my list. Came out in 2024. And this is the origin story or the prequel to The Lion King. And that's Mufasa, The Lion King. It is another one that, wasn't critically acclaimed very much, made $722 million worldwide, so like pretty successful. And so it contextualizes the entire Mufasa Scar rivalry, brothers. So that it reveals that Mufasa and Scar, which his real name is Taka, so it reveals that Mufasa and Taka were not actually biological brothers. Mufasa was an orphan that Taka's family brought in, and Mufasa was so cool growing up that he eventually took over the kingdom because he was the best one in the pride. And Mufasa or Taka, Scar, kind of over time just becomes resentful over all of this stuff happening to him. This was supposed to be his pride. He was supposed to be the rightful king, and for whatever reason, Mufasa earns it. And so it's no, is it that or maybe Mufasa? I don't remember. Anyway, great movie, great origin story. Some cool songs in the soundtrack. Actually, Lin-Manuel Miranda did some songs in it. I don't know if he did all of them, but he definitely did a few songs in it. And it's just a fun take, fun, way to look at it. And like really one of the best Lion King stories since the original. Like they've had sequels and all that kind of stuff. And this is a good fresh spin on it that I enjoyed. So
I need
that's
to
my
watch
number three.
it. I haven't seen it yet. It looked really good. I never got a chance to watch it yet, but definitely that brother song. I can't remember the name of the song, but Reese has played that song
I always
over and
wanted a
over and
brother.
over.
I always wanted a brother.
That one. What is the name of it? What is that called? I
It
can't
might
remember what the
be.
name of it.
Yeah, I don't remember. Probably.
Anyway, Reese played that song over and over, so it always made me chuckle. But
That's a
anyway.
fun one to sing. Cool. All right. So that was my number three. What was your number three?
All right, so my number three, again, it's a reboot slash prequel. It kind of falls into the same in that general area, but I'm labeling it as a prequel because it does kind of talk about the backstory of some of these characters, and that's 2009's Star Trek.
Oh.
The J.J. Abrams reboot. I really enjoyed the reboot. I thought Chris Pine and Zachary Quinto as James T. Kirk and Spock were really great in those
Yeah.
roles. As somebody who didn't necessarily grow up with Star Trek or watch much Star Trek, I had friends and dad's friends who would watch Star Trek all the time, but never really got into it until this one. This film kind of got me into some Star Trek. I really just enjoyed the reboot, and it's when obviously James T. Kirk and Spock meet for the first time, and
Yeah.
kind of how they become friends that they are. And I really enjoyed this prequel, this reboot, and that's why it's my number three. So.
Nice. Yeah, I liked that. And if you want something that gets you kind of back into it, we've been watching Strange New Worlds. That's the
I
TV
hear that's
show.
really good.
That's the one that Rob, because I was like, Rob, I love Star Trek, but there's so many things that I haven't seen now. Where should I jump back in? And he's like, Strange New Worlds would be a good way. So we're like
Who's who,
halfway.
like, is that who, what is that storyline? Is that like a
It takes place, what is
Kirk
it?
storyline
It's a
or?
Kirk. Yeah, there's a, I think it's a brother of James T. Kirk, is one of the characters in it. And then it's just kind of like to the side a little bit. At least what I'm gauging is like there are a lot of new characters, and it's just updated. It's got some bigger name people. It has what's her name in it? She used to be married to John Stamos, or still is maybe. I don't know.
Rebecca
Rebecca
Romaine
Roman.
Stamos.
So has her in it. She's like the doctor, and it's just got some cool, like cool characters, cool visual characters, and cool, cool aliens. Like there's this one alien who he has like just grayed out eyes, so he doesn't actually see, he feels or something like that. So he's a cool character, and he looks creepy, and but he's a good guy. But yeah, it's a
Yeah,
great show.
I don't know how real techies feel about the 2009 reboot or anything, but as somebody who's not like a diehard or doesn't know kind of the backstory, I really enjoyed it.
Yeah,
I thought it
I
was
don't
really
know.
good.
I mean, we've all, Katie's family is all Trekkie people, and I remember everybody in the family liking it, but I don't know about the, you know, the
The
what do they call them?
diehards.
The sweaty Star Trek fans. Okay, so that was your number three. On to our number twos. My number two is from the year 2023, and it is the movie Wonka. And this is the one with Timothée Chalamet. This was such a great movie. So it's a great prequel because it answers the biggest question about Wonka, and that was like, how did this eccentric guy who's like a recluse character, how did he become who he was, you know? So instead of going dark and weird like some of the other renditions, it went more warm and, you know, whimsical and sing-songy, and it's just such a magical movie. I think I've only seen it twice, and I need to see this movie more often. It's a great rendition of it. If you like any of the stories of Wonka, I think this one kind of gets everybody. It's so good. But yeah, just love this. And Hugh Grant was the
Oompa
Oompa Loompa. And yeah, I mean, I know I loved the original 1971 Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory. I like the 2005 Tim Burton version. You know, I like all of them that have come out, really. But this is really, like, as far as quality and the most, I think, imaginative since maybe the first one, this is a
Well, it's a different spin, you know,
blended
it's a
movie.
different storyline, which helps.
It's an origin story, but it does tiptoe into that stuff as well towards the end a little bit. But yeah, so yep, so cool. That's my number two. What was your number two?
Any guesses?
I'm gonna guess it's like the Han Solo movie.
It's not. Nope. I'm sorry. So this is like when you said prequels, this was the first one that popped into my mind. And it came out in 1999. Not in order of this.
Oh, yeah.
It's 1999. It's The Phantom Menace, Episode One. I know, you know, diehard Star Wars fans or other people, you know, hate this movie or think it's dumb or hate Jar Jar or whatever, yada yada yada. But I love this movie. I still love this movie.
Yeah.
I've, you know, I mean, I've watched it over and over again. Are there parts of it that maybe are not great? Sure, but for just cinema, entertainment, enjoyment, it has everything you need.
Yeah.
You know, has good guy, good versus evil. Has one of the greatest villains in Darth Maul, even though he's, you know, only in the movie for like 8 minutes, I
Yeah.
think.
Underutilized.
But still, you know, I was 13 when it came out. I bought all the toys. I had everything I could. It really, you know, I loved the original, but this was kind of my Star Wars. This is what brought me back into the world and opened my eyes to the new world. And it just holds a definite special place in my life and in my story. So it's number two.
Yeah.
Could have been up a little higher, but you'll see why it's not number
Number
one.
one's pretty
But
good.
you don't you think you know what my number one is?
Yeah, I think it's also my
Okay.
number one.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, it would be the best prequel of all time. So,
Yeah.
by the way, did you know this has a 54% on Rotten Tomato? I feel like
Oh,
that's not
that's
fair.
sad.
I know.
Just the
I'm just
trolls.
mad.
It's just the people trying to
I
ruin it
know.
for
I get it. I
themselves.
mean, it is what it is, but
I don't think it
I
should
liked
be.
it.
I think it should be like a 75 or something like that. I think that would be more adequate for that movie. But yeah, it's not that low.
Nope. It's not. I like I said, I've always enjoyed the movie, so.
I enjoyed it too. I was a little bit. I was 18 years old, 19 years old. So I was not a Star Wars fan at that time. So I saw it in the theater. So it was a big enough movie that I saw it in the theater, but.
I think everybody saw it in the theater, it seemed like. But
It was a big
yeah.
deal. Cool. All right. So that was your number two. We're on to our number ones. And I think my number one is your number one. Did it come
Should
out
we
in the
say it
year
together? It
2016?
did. It's the best prequel.
And that was Rogue One, A Star Wars Story. So this movie, it does what the best prequels do. It makes the original better. So this l literally leads right up to the moments of
New Hope.
episode four, A New Hope. And so just knowing the sacrifice that went into stealing the Death Star plans gives the opening crawl of A New Hope just so much more weighty. Every character dies in the movie, which is crazy because you don't know any of these characters, so of
It's
course,
rare.
so they have to do away with them somehow. So it's a bold and emotionally devastating choice that just, I mean, it elevates the entire franchise because of like they just kicked butt with that movie. It's just a masterpiece. It proved Star Wars could tell grounded, morally complex stories, even though they were around war. They're always about war and tariffs and treaties and but this is and it was outside the it was kind of the first movie cinematic movie that was outside of the Jedi Sith framework. That was what made it impactful to me. Introduced us to Cassian Andor, which obviously then led to a prequel TV show that prequeled this, which is just so cool. And introduced us all those tertiary characters like Jyn Erso and K2SO and Orson Krennic, Galen Erso, and then obviously at the end you see Darth Vader, and it's like probably the strongest you ever see Darth Vader in the cin in cinema, in movie theater. At the end of the movie where he's just blasting through those people. But yeah, what do you have to say about it?
I mean, I couldn't agree more. I think this is my favorite Star Wars movie. I think the acting, the cinematography, everything about it is incredible. I mean, even just the opening, like where they come after Galen and Jyn, and they try, like, just that, those scenes are just, it's such a good way to start a movie, and then it just keeps going from there. And I don't know. It's definitely, it, like I said, it's my favorite Star Wars movie. I just think it is as good as it gets. You don't need Jedis. You don't need lightsaber battles. You don't need any of this stuff. You just need a good story, with good characters and good acting. And yeah, I mean, that ending scene with Darth Vader, I think everybody's seen it, where it's dark and then all of a sudden you hear his breathing, and then you see his lightsaber, and then you see his silhouette in the red glow from his lightsaber, and then does what he does. And yeah, I think that's why I've always said part of me wishes they would redo the 4, 5, and 6, because I would love to see them actually really use Darth Vader and make him as badass as he could be, with the new technology we have. But yeah, because that scene alone right there, it's like, that's like one of the best scenes of Darth Vader, and it has everything to do with the technology and the writing and all that kind of stuff. So yeah, I just, when you said prequel, this was the first one that popped into my mind. It's why Phantom Menace got knocked down. But yeah, it's the best prequel. Like you said, it adds so much depth to the Star Wars story and narrative, that you just didn't have before. So all you knew was somehow they got these Death Star plans, but how did they get them? You don't know, and now you'll know what all went into it.
Someone had
So,
to have died to get these to us.
well, and it says in New Hope, like
Yeah, that's
these,
true.
this was a huge sacrifice to get these. So, and now you really get to understand the depths of that. So,
Perfection.
And then obviously it also led into one of my favorite TV shows of all time too.
Yeah.
So
Yeah. Cool. All right. So those were our number five through ones. I had a couple honorable mentions. Did you say you had an honorable mention and you just
I
got
did
five?
not.
Yeah.
Nope,
It
I
was a
got the five. Yep.
tough category, but I did have two. One of them is the 2012 movie. It was a prequel to Alien. Which we talked about. I was never an alien person, but and I'd
Yeah.
seen them, but I saw this one. It's called Prometheus. It had
Okay.
Michael Fassbender in it. It had Charlize Theron in it. Had Guy Pearce in it. Idris Elba. I think
I
those are
guess
the.
I didn't realize that was in the
Yeah.
same world as Alien.
Yeah.
I thought it was a totally different
It's
alien.
it's a It's loosely tied in. Like there's
Okay.
you see the connection at the end of it, and but it's a story that kind of stands on its own. It's
Sure.
really good. But it's kind of a creepy movie, and so I've only seen it probably two or three times, but it's one that gets you thinking.
Sure.
Yeah, very, it's like a philosophical sci-fi.
Okay. Yep.
But yeah. Great movie. And then my other one is not technically a prequel because it's based on a Disney theme park ride, but it's just a fun adventure. And it's Jungle Cruise from 2021 with
Okay.
Dwayne The Rock Johnson and Emily
Yep.
Blunt. And you just kind of learn some of the people and places from the Jungle Cruise ride. And so it's technically a prequel, but it's not a prequel to a movie. It's a prequel to
Sure.
a
A ride.
theme park
Yeah.
ride.
Yeah.
But
I
I
thought
just
for a
thought
second
it'd
you were going
be.
to say Pirates of the Caribbean. I'm like, I don't know if that's a prequel, but yeah. Okay.
Yep. So, yeah, it's just one that I liked. It was a fun movie, and I like the ride that it prequels.
Yep.
So, yeah. Those
Backside of
are
water.
that's right, the backside of water. Cool. All right. Well, I think we'll get out of here. Don't forget to contact us with your things on the places
Yep.
with the stuff.
The places with the stuff. Yep. All of the high five backslashes.
Yep, all the
Speakpipe,
back.
Facebook, Instagram.
That's right. Cool. Well, I will see you on the other side of an epic universe trip, and I will tell you all the cool things to do and not do,
Nice.
in my opinion.
Okay.
But,
Sounds like
all
a
right.
plan.
All right.
Safe travels.
All right. Well, we'll get out of here. See you later.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to the High Five Podcast. We'd love to hear what your high fives would be or what you thought of ours. You can find us on Facebook or email us at thehighfivepodcast@gmail.com. Or just say hi if you know us in real life. And a big thank you to our friend Trevor Durheimer for the awesome intro and outro music. See you next time.